My name is Edgar Fleury, Special Magistrate. We're going to be discussing petition 20. We're going to be discussing petition 2020-091. Please present your names for the record.
Melissa Cullen.
Doug Beck.
Bill Scholes.
Art Campbell.
Excuse me, Bill. Is that right, Bill? Who said? Oh, if you have cards, that'd be great. Was there a reason that you wearing a striped shirt on that end and she's wearing a striped shirt on that end?
Well, I'm trying to get her to be friends with me.
Oh, okay.
Psychological warfare.
Now I know right. She has a three-year-old daughter. It'll be easier. Daughter, son.
Daughter.
Could you raise your right hand, please? Solemn swear to tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the true selfie God.
Yeah. I do.
Amen. All right, gentlemen, have you read the opening statement?
Yes, sir.
Okay, you understand my position? I hear it. We're all very good. All right, we're going to let the property appraiser present their evidence, and then you will present your evidence. Be succinct of what you want to tell us. What do you want me to hear? Okay? There's been a tendency that when somebody's given a rebuttal, and there's another rebuttal, and a second rebuttal, third rebuttal, let's try and make it concise, okay?
Yes, sir. We'll talk over each other.
Okay, very good. All right. Ms. Cullen, could you please present the evidence?
Sure. Just one question. I know you typically like the parcel number and the values read on the record. There are 9 parcels. I do have a summary chart on page 2 of my packet. If you would like me to read all of them in, I will.
You said 9 parcels here?
Correct.
Okay. I think it would be a good idea to read the record, the numbers and proceed. And also the assessments, I'm sorry.
Okay. The first one is parcel number R13-223-18-3589-0000-00A. And the just assessed and taxable value is $3,600. And I'm reading this off page 2 of my packet. The second parcel is R13-223-18-3589-0000-000B, and the just assessed and taxable value is $491. The third parcel is R13-223-18-3589-0000-0010, and the just assessed and taxable value is $476,751. The fourth parcel is R13-223-18-3589-0000-0020, and the just assessed and taxable value is $376,222. The fifth parcel is R13-223-18-3589-0000-0030, and the value is $379,964. The next one is R13-223-18-3589-0000-0040, and the value is $280,274. The next one is R13-223-18-3589-0000-0050, and the value is $323,291. The next one is R13-223-18-3589-0000-0060, and the value is $491,135. The last one is R13-223-18-3589-0000-0070, and the value is $415,762. On page 1, you can see that the owner is Zambito Enterprises, Inc. These 9 parcels are located at the northwest corner of Spring Hill Drive and California Street in Spring Hill. They are zoned PDPGC, which is general commercial, with C2 uses. The parcels range in size from 37,722 square feet to 78,408 square feet, and this is a 9 parcel platted commercial development. Now I'm on page 3. Just so that you're aware, Lot A was platted as an internal roadway for the development, and Lot B was platted as a drainage retention area for the development, and that's why those two values are so significantly low. Lots 1 through 7 were platted as commercial lots available for development, and it was platted for development circa 2007. It was rezoned in January 2002 as Plan Development Project General Commercial with Highway Commercial Uses. I've included the rezoning in the addendum. For the sale and listing history, I'm just going to give you a summary instead of going through the whole thing. The property was reportedly listed for a total of $3,095,000 from 2009 until 2014. However, recent listing information was not found for the subject from 2014 to the most recent sale in 2019. In 2019, the buyer purchased all 9 parcels as a bulk sale from Center State Bank in June of 19 for $775,000. The sale of the property was an REO sale, and most importantly, it was sold as a bulk sale. And I've included the deed as well as the DUR qualification and disqualification codes in my addendum. Finally, according to CoStar, the subject property is currently listed for sale. The current listings discuss all of the parcels, but they're not clear in the pricing for each parcel. Additionally, one of the CoStar listings states that Lot 6 of the development will be developed into a 7-Eleven convenience store and car wash. Currently, as of 11/17, the most recent documents for that development, where the owner has given a contractor authorization to start pulling permits and start developing the parcel, was in our system, and there's probably about 500 plus pages in our system, so I couldn't include it in here. I also drive past that property every day to and from work, and in the last week they have staked it to be surveyed, and they've also put up dust guards, and there is machinery on the site like they are getting ready to clear it for development. For all these reasons, I believe that Lot 6 and maybe possibly other lots, based on what I saw in the last week at the property, is under contract for purchase and it hasn't been disclosed to us. Page 4, I just did a quick summary of some of the information I just discussed, and I have also included that information in the addendum. If you look on page 5, you can see the parcel map. And I've shown the lot numbers and the what we call key numbers in this county for each of them. Page 6 is an aerial. Page 7 is a FEMA map. Page 8 is a location map, just so you have an idea of kind of what's going on around the property. Page 9 is another location aerial. Starting on page 10, these are photographs that were taken a few months ago. And then if you turn to page 14, I'm basically explaining that I valued each parcel separately. And for the reason that I have done this is that the subject is platted. And I believe that one parcel, at a minimum, is in the process of being developed. And I feel that a bulk value of the total size would be inaccurate. I also explained that we value property each year for tax assessment purposes. So I do feel that a retail sellout value using a discounted cash flow analysis would be the most accurate way to value the property. But because it estimates a sellout beyond a one-year time frame, it would not reflect the value as of today as a in a one-year period, how we value it. I also think that the retail sellout value would probably be even higher than what I have these parcels currently valued at. What I've done is I've used the same comparables to value all the properties. I have grouped some of the lots together. Yes.
Next question. Page 16, the map, the aerial.
Yes.
So, there's a subject, the one in blue, correct? All those nine sites are located, the nine sites are located in that blue box?
No, sir.
Oh.
If you look on pages...
Oh, excuse me, that's a land sale. I'm sorry.
Yes, that's
Never
one
mind.
Of my thoughts.
Never mind.
If you look on pages 5 through 9, you can see the different lots.
Okay. I'm sorry. I didn't look at the heading. I just looked at the sketch. Okay, proceed.
No, that's okay. I've used the same comparables for all the lots, and I've included the information up front here in the beginning. And then what I have done is grouped the lots together based on their location within the development and their frontage and their size. And some of them I have valued two lots together and just shown what the individual prices are. And others I value by themselves. So if you look on page 22, I'm valuing lots 1 and 6 together. And on page 29, so for lots 1 and 6, I have used 5 sales located in Brookville and Spring Hill that sold from March of 2018 to December of 2019. On page 30, you can see that I have adjusted for market conditions, location, visibility, access, frontage, etc. And then another adjustment I made was size and shape. And you can see at the bottom of the chart the values that I derived for these parcels. On page 38, I did same comps, same type of adjustments, and I valued lots 3 and 5 together, and you can see what I determined the market value was for those lots. Lot 2, I valued by itself, and that's on pages 45 and 46. And again, same comps, same adjustments. Lot 4 was valued by itself on pages 52 and 53. Lot 7 was valued by itself, and that's on pages 59 and 60. Also in the packet, I've just explained that I did not provide a separate value for the roadway or the drainage retention area. I'm just don't think that would have made any sense since they're so low. On page 69, I have a chart with my final values for the property. If you look on page 72, I've included the subject deed. Page 87 is the zoning information. Page 91, I've included the current historic listings that I was able to find on the property. And if you turn to page 130, I have printed the screen for the permitting for the 7-Eleven. And the rest of the information is property record charts for the comparable sales and legal information.
Sorry, Melissa, what page was the 7-Eleven stuff you're talking about?
130.
The sale of the property was not considered at $775,000.
That was the price, yes. It was for all 9 parcels.
Foreclosure sale.
I looked at it, and it was a real estate owned seller, and it was a bulk sale.
Yep,
and
okay.
Even if I was doing a fee appraisal, I would not use a bulk sale to value these properties.
Well, it is a bulk sale.
Yes.
All nine parcels. If the parcels were under one parcel number, one folio,
mm-hmm.
value change?
Yes. No, sorry, no. The value would not change, and I'll discuss it in my rebuttal, where there's actually, if you were to total the, if you wanted to look at it as the total acreage of all nine parcels, there are tons of sales in the county that would still support a higher value than they're saying it's worth.
Okay. Were the values increased from last year?
Were they what?
Were the values increased? Market values increased from last year?
Yes, the market values did increase from last year.
Actually? Yeah.
I believe so. Now, I will say that overall in the county for land, we've seen increases anywhere from 5 to 27%.
Increase across county?
Yep. On in sale prices.
From 5% to?
5 to 27%. To 27.
27, okay.
And that depends on the location, yeah, the, you know, so on and so forth.
Okay. Mr. Schultz and Mr. Campbell, who's
yes, sir.
Going to present?
Bring me my evidence. It's a bit lengthy, but we'll get to it.
Okay, thank you. Bear with me a second.
You ready for me? I didn't have a big enough stapler to staple the whole thing.
And your name is?
Bill.
Schultz, Mr. Schultz?
Yes.
All right. Could you proceed? Oh, by the way, the evidence presented by the property appraiser is admissible, and it's Exhibit 1.
Yes, sir. Before I get into the evidence,
right into those mics because you got
it. Yes, sir. I just want to give you a little background on myself. In September of 2015, I retired from the Pinellas County Property Appraiser's Office after 30 years of government service. I was the senior commercial appraiser for Pinellas County. I've been in thousands of value adjustment board hearings, and you know, I know both sides of the table pretty well.
Where were you property appraiser?
Pinellas County.
Pinellas?
Yes, sir.
Thank you.
Okay, so getting into our packet, I'll read over the summary. Again, the subject property is an 11.76-acre undeveloped parcel at the northwest corner of Spring Hill Drive and California Street. The zoning is PDP. The subject was purchased at arm's length in June of 2019 for $775,000. The subject was foreclosed on by Center State Bank.
No, Farber. Which one? Community.
Community Bank in 2008, I believe. And for 10 years, they actively marketed this property. When they first went on the market in 2009, they were asking $3,095,000. They were trying to sell individual lots, however they could get the deal done. There were no lookers, no takers. After 5 years, they dropped the asking price to $1,003,000. It sat for another year or so. They dropped it to $900,000. No action. Actually, I think it went under contract and then fell apart at $900,000. And then they dropped it to $785,000, and that's when Mr. Campbell came into play.
$785,000. Okay.
Okay.
You have a copy of the appraisal?
I'm sorry?
Do you have the copy of that appraisal?
Yes, sir. The appraisal's in the packet.
Is it here?
Yes, sir. It's an MAI appraisal completed in May of 2019. And they came up with a value of $810,000, and that was for financing.
Okay.
Before I get... I know we're going to go through rebuttal with them. They're calling it a bulk sale. This is a multi-parcel transaction.
Bulk sale, multi-parcel.
Yeah, in my experience, bulk purchases are like you get a property from the bank and one's here, one's over there. These are contiguous, all bulk multi-parcel.
Okay.
And we'll go over some info to substantiate that.
Points will take an understand.
So, again, you can see the page 2 of our packet are the subject aerials. On the second half of the aerial, I want to point out there's a the top half, where the Suncoast Parkway and Spring Hill Drive.
Do me a favor, please. Could you refer to page numbers?
Page 2.
Thank you.
So, there's so the subject is right in the middle. See it? And then if you go over to the left, where the Suncoast Parkway, there's a Target and a Kohl's, probably about 10 years old, and they're prime out parcels at this location that nobody's touching. Every piece of land around here is for sale. Nothing's transacting in this area. Just wanted to bring that up. We have the zoning map on page 3, and then I included the zoning supplement, so if you want to get into that, you're more than welcome to. Starting on my page 5, on my page 5, is the MLS listing from 2009. And it says $850,000 withdrawn conditionally. That was just for one of the lots. They were at this time, they were asking $3 million for the whole parcel. Nothing happened. So then on page 7 is the MLS listing for when they came back in 2014. And reevaluated the parcel, and they listed it for $1.3 million, and then dropped it to $900,000, then dropped it to $785,000. This is our info to support that.
Excuse me, can I ask a question?
Yes.
On page 5.
Yes, sir.
The listing was for $850,000.
Yeah, I didn't have all 9 parcels MLS sheets, so I only had the one.
As individual. Or is that finance?
Right. This was just for, I believe, maybe lot 6.
Lot 6.
Yeah. They were asking $850,000 for that back in 2009.
Which would be the corner lot.
Speak.
That would be the corner lot, lot 6.
Oh, also, Mr. Fleary, I kind of got ahead of myself. Mr. Campbell here with me was the transactional broker on this deal. He was the buyer's agent.
Mm-hmm.
Just so you know, I wanted to get that out there. Okay, then I also included the settlement statement for you on pages 8 through 11, and then the appraisal. I have that in a separate clip for you, a separate binder. I've also included some of the Florida Department of Revenue Property Tax Administration program, their real property appraisal guidelines. I just want to touch on a couple of things here. When I get to page 16.
16?
Wait a second. Let me make sure I'm in the right place. Yeah, 16, middle paragraph. Sales involving multiple parcels are typically excluded from sales ratio studies due to technical difficulties in matching the relevant legal, physical, and economic characteristics. Blah, blah, blah. And then we get to the last line. However, such sales may be arm's length and useful to the property appraiser for appraisal purposes and for explaining just values. These sales should be preserved for such use. Again, multi-parcel sale, not a bulk transaction.
Could you do me a favor? What number is that? 3. What that you're reading from?
Well, it's page 16, the middle paragraph.
16, the middle. Okay. All right. Okay.
And again, this property was classified as REO, real estate owned.
Right.
The bank took it back in 2009. when I started putting my packet together, you know, I went out looking for comparable sales. This is before I knew we had the appraisal. So I found some sales to throw in here. I'm really, we're putting most of our weight on the appraisal. So that's just in there for data purposes. Again, as you're aware, Special Magistrate, this is assessment is as of January 1st, 2020. The property appraiser brought up some information about a 7-Eleven development at this site. It's touch and go right now, but really this wasn't even consummated until August of 2020, 8 months after the assessment date. And then there are also some other issues, and I'm going to let Mr. Campbell speak to some of this with the property itself, including infrastructure, drainage, roadways, water, sewer, and remediation of turtles that has to take place before anything can even be done on this property. And I'll let Mr. Campbell talk a little bit about that.
As I entered the, as I discovered the property in December of 2018, it was on the market. It had been under previous contract. It was listed at that time at $785. I approached my buyer, who is typically an income buyer. I said, "This looks like a good property. Property appraiser has it assessed for $2 million, and they're only asking $785,000. There's got to be an issue, but I can't see what it is." So we went to the county. We met with the county. They had very little records. They pulled out the PD commercial, told us what could go on the property, such as retail.
Closer to the mic.
Excuse me, sir. Such as retail. Oh. They also said self-storage. It did not have full C2 usage. It had limited C2 usage. Could limited be a bar, what? Could be a restaurant. Could be a drive-in, so there was not the full list of C2 uses, but most C2 uses are the ones that we were interested in. Seemed to be very attractive. What they didn't tell us is that in order to develop any one property, you had to bring sewer and water to every parcel, and you had to develop the road, the sewer, the water, the sidewalks, the landscaping, the turtle removal, so forth, came eventually, as we found out later in 2019-2020, came to almost $1 million.
I'm on page 17. That's the cost. Is that for the all nine lots?
We paid $775,000 for all nine lots.
No. This is development cost on page 17. Is that for the entire nine lots?
Page 17. We don't have a page.
Which 17? I mean 27. I have to apologize. 27.
I have other documents that are not necessarily in the package, but in your package, do you have the? No. Okay. To the back of his package, he has page 27.
Yeah, that's what he was referring to.
That was a preliminary quote from one developer as to what it would charge.
For what?
It was a preliminary quote to do the required development for these parcels.
Yeah, for the entire?
Yes, but it was not a firm quote. It was a preliminary. We've subsequently gotten another quote that's very similar to this, but what we found is we had to do some blend-in roads on California, which is the road to the east, and other things that are not on there. We also discovered over $75,000 worth of turtles on the property to be removed. And that's in the process right now. They mentioned the fence going up on what she's referring to as the 7-Eleven parcel. That parcel has not been sold, nor has that parcel been closed. We have given them permission to pull permits and to remove the turtles. The property will most likely close the end of this month. The attorneys are working on it right now. Our sale price on that property is $600,000. However, in order to sell it at $600,000, our owner has to contribute $450,000 to this development.
before he could sell it at $600,000?
He is escrowing. He is escrowing $450,000, and the developer that is developing the 7-Eleven is contributing the rest of it. So we're funding approximately $900,000 on development, half and half, between the landowner and the developer. So we're selling them the land, the corner, the 7-Eleven property, for $600,000, and we're recontributing back to the development of the other parcels another $450,000. So he's going to net $150,000 on this sale. His bank that he has the loan from is going to take that $150,000 to reduce the loan that he has outstanding on the property. So we have not closed on that property. It is under contract. The contract was contingent upon the county approving the site plan. It was also contingent on a 7-Eleven lease being approved after the site plan was developed. And it is also contingent on the building plan for the 7-Eleven being developed. The site plan was approved by the county roughly a month ago. It took us over a year to get that done. The 7-Eleven then reviews that. They said it looks good. In the meantime, their building approval has been done. I'm not involved with that transaction at all. All I'm doing is selling them the land and getting the entire property developed so that you can sell these individual parcels.
Is that contract here?
I have
a... Is it presented to the property appraiser? With all the contingencies in it?
No, it was not.
I could do that. I have not done that. The reason is because the assessment is last year, at the beginning of January. None of this existed then. She's also made the suggestion that I have other parcels under contract. I have no other parcels under contract. I've advertised them, but I've always advertised them as developed parcels, not raw land. So she's valuing these parcels as if they've already been developed, the turtles have been removed, the road is in there, the sewer, the water, everything's all done. That's not done. We're just now starting to pay for that. And we couldn't do it until the county gave us permit to do it.
We have to have the approval from the county.
Yes, sir. Yes,
right.
Sir.
And all this, sir, again, took place 8 months after the assessment date.
I'm surprised you didn't submit that contract with all those contingencies and all those figures to the property appraiser.
We requested a pre-hearing conference, and we were told they were too busy.
No, that's not correct. We'll talk about that.
Okay, I have the email to submit to you.
And I have a conversation to talk about.
All right. So this is the only contract you have on out of the 9 parcels?
That's correct. And honestly, Judge, the contingencies were not removed until roughly a month ago, and we're just now going to through the closing thing, and the attorneys are working that back and forth. So as far as giving you a contract, it was contingent. We did not even enter into all of the terms of that contract until this year, this calendar year, after this assessment was done. So, again, the assessments that she hasn't – first off, when I looked at the property, it was assessed at roughly $2 million for all the properties. I'm using round numbers. And that was in 2018. We did the purchase in mid-2019 for $775,000. Other people backed away when they realized it was going to cost them $1 million to develop the property. We bought it for $775,000. We assumed, stupidly, that the assessment would be lowered to our market value, which it was not. Instead, they lowered a little bit, dropped it about $400,000 to $1.5 million.
The long and short of it, you had a $600,000 contract subject to getting certain approvals by the zoning department and also completing some development, correct?
Are we talking right now or back at the beginning of the year?
No, I'm saying that's the long and short of the contract, correct?
Today.
Correct. Yes, sir. Of today, yes, sir.
Okay, then I have sufficient information in regard to that at this point. Okay,
very good. Just a couple more things I want to talk about before we get into rebuttal. In the property appraiser's evidence on their page 79, I'd like you to read a section.
Can you put that under rebuttal? Under rebuttal.
Yes, sir.
Okay, is there any other? You have the appraisal in here. Okay.
Yes, sir.
And I'll have to take a look at that.
Please do.
Yeah. Like everybody says, during my leisure time.
Yeah. I reviewed the appraisal. It's very. I reviewed the appraisal. It's very proficient.
Which page does that start on? Oh, here we go.
It should be in a packet by itself.
Yeah, I got it. There we go. Okay. Anything else, sir? For the record, it was appraised on May 17, 2019 for $810,000.
Correct.
Okay.
And during that calendar year, the assessment...
would you go closer?
I'm sorry. During that time, the assessment on the property was already standing roughly $2 million
right,
at the time of purchase. And that had been the 2018 appraisal, which is what we referred to as we made our offer. It took us 6 months to close the property. So it closed in mid-2019. We assumed the assessment would go down. Instead, they raised it 50 or 60 or 70% beyond that. So this year it's almost a total of $3 million this year, $2.7 million, $3 million. Significant increase and almost four times what we paid for the property.
Okay.
Okay. So when Mr. Campbell originally called our office during trim.
Ms. Pauline?
Yes.
Hello?
Microphone. When Mr. Campbell originally called our office during trim or preliminary tax notice time before a petition was filed, while I was on the phone with him, the property appraiser was sitting in my office listening to the conversation. And I asked Mr. Campbell about the very high listing prices that are on the property that are listed on CoStar, which I've included in my packet. And I was told that CoStar made him do that. That was the response that I got. That CoStar made him put an update date on there that was just before he had called me with very high listed prices for these parcels. I also explained to him that I had found the information on the 7-Eleven, and he said that that may not close. He also told me that it was going to cost them $1 million to develop the property, and I asked for proof of that from a contractor, which I never received.
Excuse me, develop the property? You're talking about the 7-Eleven or the entire?
The whole development.
Okay, full development, okay.
I was also told that the owner had no idea that he was going to have to spend this amount of money or develop the property, and I feel that this is probably an experienced investor, and he had 6 months to figure this out. Once the property appraiser heard that conversation and... once they filed a petition, reviewed everything, I can't control what the property appraiser does. He said they've had their conference with you on the phone, and I'm not adjusting it because I don't agree. So,
who's that discussion with?
Mr. Campbell.
Mr. Campbell, okay.
And now,
who was the other person you were talking with? You were saying somebody was in your office?
Mr. Emerson, the property appraiser, listened to the whole conversation.
Okay, good.
I am not valuing it as developed. I did not use out parcel sales or finished pad sites. It's raw land. It's very typical when you buy a property that utilities will have to be run to the site. I'm not a developer, but I'm an appraiser, and I know that. That's very common. And as an appraiser, you look at it like if it's more than 1,000 feet away from the property line, then, you know, it's going to become costly and you have to adjust for that. I also never said that anything else was under contract. I only stated that I felt the 7-Eleven lot 6 was under contract. So, you know, one point that I want to make is that all these listings they're showing are from 2009 when the economy was in a downturn. And I've included all the listings for very high list prices in the addendum of my property or of my packet. I already explained to you that I had requested those costs from the contractor and they were never provided to me.
The comps, you said?
I had requested the cost to develop the property and it was not provided. So now I want to bring to your attention that there was a listing on MLS from 2010 to 2017 at $598,900 for the entire development.
$598,500?
$598,900.
No,
$900,
okay.
Now, this was almost 1 year prior to when the sale price was then increased to $855,000. And then...
just still in question. Are we...
Oh, I apologize. I'm looking at the wrong thing. I apologize.
Yeah.
Sorry.
You're talking to a specific lot, or you're preferring?
I was referring to a sale. I misunderstood my own notes. I apologize.
I'll
okay. So I apologize. So let's go to page 17 of their packet.
Okay, hang please.
You guys have to bear with me. I do about
10
or 15 of these a day. Okay. So this was a disqualified sale by our office. It was purchased by the adjacent property owner. On the listing, it stated that it was a motivated seller. And from 2010 to 2017.
Sorry, I thought I had
that's
it
okay.
Sorry.
From 2010 to 2017, it was listed at $598,900. And then about 1 year prior to its selling, the sale price was increased to $855,000.
Can I ask a question now?
Yes.
Do you have a hard copy of what you're, you know, testifying to?
I have my rebuttal notes, yes.
Okay, I would like a copy of that.
Okay. Let's go to page 21. This is a good sale, which is the Lawry's True Value LLC sale. That's a good sale. The sale on page 25 that sold March of 2020, I do believe it was purchased for a car dealership. I have not looked at it yet because I do not consider 2020 sales in my analysis for a date of value of January 1st, 2020. In my rebuttal, which I can show you, if they wanted to look at this as a bulk sale, I'm questioning why there was a sale in 2019 and four sales in 2018, why they weren't looked at or considered. And one of them is actually of a self-storage site, which the appraiser indicates is the highest and best use on some of the parcels on the property. So I'm questioning all of this, why they didn't look at any of those sales. Further, regarding lot 6 that is going to be purchased by the 7-Eleven, I have included four different 7-Eleven sales in my rebuttal, that two have sold in 18 and two of them have sold in 19 and showing what they're paying for their sites. And that is ranging anywhere from $12.83 a square foot to $17.61 a square foot.
Were they developed with the infrastructure?
No.
The subject was not developed with the infrastructure as of January of this year, was it?
Correct, it was not.
So that would be a, did you make an adjustment?
No, what I'm saying is they are not. The one in December of 19 that's on here on Highway 50 and Nightwalker, which is West 50 going towards US 19, it was raw land. It was a large parcel. 7-Eleven bought a portion of it. They broke it off, and they paid $17.61 a square foot.
It was on road and had access to utilities.
And let her finish her rebuttal. Sorry about that.
That's okay. Another one here on Broad Street, May of 19, they paid $1.4 million. They demolished the building. So after their demolition costs of $400,000, they paid, I estimated, $1 million at $1,329 a square foot. They also bought the other two in 2018 were actual outparcel sites, but the first two that I mentioned were not.
Are you referring to the sales that they submitted or part of the appraisal?
No, this is my rebuttal, I can give you this information.
On your sales or theirs? On their sales?
These are not their sales. These are not my sales.
Are the rebuttal sales?
Yes.
Oh, okay.
Right. Yes.
I want to make sure.
I've already mentioned that I wanted support for these costs, and I was never given that. On page 28 of his packet.
His packet?
His packet, yes.
Mm-hmm, okay.
Without going through all of these assessment comps, basically one thing that I found is some of them he was comparing vacant land sales to improved assessments. Some have single family zonings, multifamily zonings, agricultural zonings, office professional zonings, which are not comparable. Some of these were actual finished sites. Some of these don't have any road frontage.
What are you referring to, Melissa? My graph on the last page?
The assessment ratios, yes. And some of these were splits where the property was broken off. So it's not reflective of the correct information is basically what I'm getting at. They're all different property types and different neighborhoods. Now I want to very quickly talk about the appraisal. May I proceed?
Well, I'm sorry. I was reading something.
I wanted to talk about the appraisal.
Yeah, that's
okay.
That's what I was looking at when you had said that too.
Okay, I know Julie because I used to be in the fee world. I used to deal with her on different things, and you know, as an appraiser, you never know where your appraisals are going to end up. I'm willing to bet she had no intention of it ending up here. It was supposed to be used for the loan. I know she's the one who wrote this, not Cuervo. I would be willing to bet it's her that wrote this. You know, so in here she talks about that Hernando County is sinkholes and it's all doom and gloom. And one thing that I've learned when I was in the fee world, I used to get a lot of work here in the county because I lived here. Most commercial appraisers come out of Tampa and Orlando. They don't take the time to learn this market. They're used to the hustle and bustle of those big cities and everything being on top of each other. So they come here, they don't spend the time driving around learning their market, and they think because all the development isn't on top of each other that, you know, it's suffering here, which I disagree. I want to look at her. And in one point I want to make on page 17, she even says that the buyer is anticipating selling the lots for retail development. So I just want to make that point.
Hang on. That's the zone.
That's the goal.
So by making that point, what I'm trying to say is the buyer knew he was getting a good deal. He knows that they're worth a lot more than what he paid. And he has intentions of selling them individually. And he just got lucky and got them from the bank because the bank isn't going to keep them on their books. They're in the business of getting rid of assets. And they discount it to do that.
Okay. The bank that's going to make the loan is the bank that sold the property?
No, sir. No.
Okay, now, if you will, on page 33, she's talking about that there's no retail development in the area, and she's actually incorrect. To the north, there are two schools, mobile home, single-family developments. To the south is the Hernando County Airport. Now, this is all before you get to the Suncoast Parkway. On the east side of the parkway, there is a single-family subdivision. There's a Target, Kohl's, retail plazas, McDonald's. The retail plaza that is in front of the Kohl's and Target is full, completely occupied. The two units in front of the Target are, or three, I believe, are all full. So, you know, again, I disagree with what she's saying. On page 35, this sale was a disqualified sale.
Disqualified?
Yes. It sold via a quitclaim deed from a bankruptcy trustee. Page 37 is a qualified sale. It's one of the same sales that the petitioner included. Page 39 is agricultural land. And she is stating that it was zoned agricultural at the time of sale and surrounding properties have been rezoned to PD. Well, if you believe that, you still need to make an adjustment to it because the buyer is buying it as agricultural and it's going to have to spend money to get it rezoned. Page 41, she excluded an additional parcel. This is in Pasco County. There is no road frontage. And she says it's C2 and multifamily zoned, and that is incorrect. It is single-family residential and multifamily. It's not commercially zoned. And it also sold to a nonprofit, and they actually bought some property here in this county, and they provide housing for the homeless. Sale 5 on page 43 is disqualified, and that was also sold to a nonprofit. Basically, you know, one last point I want to make is when you are doing an appraisal and you are given an engagement from a bank with a contract, as an appraiser, the last thing you want to do is kill the deal by either coming in below that contract price or coming in so high that the bank goes, wait a minute, we're not selling it for this. So I don't know if that's what was going on here, but I don't feel this is a valid appraisal. And that's all I have, and I will be happy to give you my rebuttal notes and the petitioner if they would like them.
Do you have a hard copy now for me?
Yes.
Okay. I've neglected prior to your testimony to talk about the evidence from the petitioner. The petitioner's evidence is identified as 2, and it is admissible. And the property appraiser rebuttal evidence is going to be Exhibit 3, and it's admissible.
Could I have a copy, please?
I sat it right there for you, sir.
Okay, thank you. Okay, gentlemen.
Yes, sir. Previously testified, we're hanging our hat on the appraisal. The comps I have in my packet, I looked for those before I realized we have the appraisal. So, I mean, whatever my comps are, my comps, but the appraisal is what we're looking for. Mr. Campbell wants to talk a little bit about the diligence period and some meetings he had with an Anderson.
I previously said I'd had a preliminary meeting before we purchased the property. After we purchased the property, we acquired a professional engineering firm to start talking with the county. They scheduled public hearings with the county to get an approval of a site plan for this site.
This site. You talking about the 7-Eleven or the entire site?
The people that came to meet with the city, excuse me, the county, was Beta Bay Development. Beta Bay Development was going to be the contractor that would build the 7-Eleven. They scheduled with planning and zoning. They had them review. They submitted a plan. The difficulty with the plan was they moved the platted road north on the property to make more usable use of the property. They also made the, even though they're engineers, they made the assumption that the corner could be developed by itself. They went before planning and zoning. They had 6 or 7 different groups of the county review, and they completed a review mostly around August 27th. There is a recorded public hearing on that. During that meeting, John Pianta, I'm saying the name probably incorrectly, suggested that what they were requesting could not be done efficiently without reopening the plan development that had been done back in 2002, 18 years earlier. He suggested to them that moving the road would be great difficulty. They'd have to do an OPD to be able to do that. He also suggested that the OPD was reviewed, I guess, by utility or someone, said that all utilities would have to be developed on the site. He tabled the meeting. They did not do it. It did not go to the county for approval. It basically broke off. We then, roughly a month later, had a separate meeting with the same group of people, had probably 15 people from the county, 4 people from the engineering firm, that talked about how the best way to do this. What they came up to is they would be further ahead to stay with the original PD and the platting that was done on the property. The reason for that was if they opened it back up, the county might not approve the right-in, right-out entrances that be required for the 7-Eleven.
In other words, the access.
Yes, sir.
Now,
yes, sir.
About the corner site, that's the 7-Eleven site. We still again? Is that correct? The 7-Eleven site?
In order to do the 7-Eleven site, you got to do the whole property.
It is the 7-Eleven site.
Okay. It is a 7-Eleven site. It was always a 7-Eleven site. The suggestion is that it was a secret from the county, that we had this deal and we weren't telling them. That's not correct. We had public hearings. It was discussed. It was presented. A preliminary plan was done. It was not approved. They went back to the drawing boards. They moved the road back to the original platted road, went through probably 6 months of approval with COVID, most of which is done on the phone and computers, back and forth with emails. In the midst of that, the county also changed the mechanism that these developers have to submit. So previously, you would submit paper. They no longer want paper. They want it done on the computer. They had problem with that. The new computer system says that each person gets a notice, but they don't get it simultaneously. It goes round robin, which slows them down. So long story short, the approval by the county to even do any kind of development was only approved roughly a month ago, not back at the beginning of the year when this assessment was supposed to be taking effect. We had a contingent contract. We did not have a firm contract. we would refund any deposits if the county did not approve the plan. We had difficulty getting the plan approved. The plan got approved. Now, earlier you asked for financing on this property. Financing for the 7-Eleven and for my customer's purchase of the raw land, both of those financings were done by Valley Bank. Valley Bank commissioned the appraisal, which we've used reference. That's what Valley valued that property at to make a bank loan. It was an MAI appraiser. No matter what she says, I will trust an MAI appraiser versus a government employee that wants to inflate the value of this property.
We were talking about the former site.
Yes, sir.
We're talking about that's a 7-Eleven site.
Yes, it is.
We're talking about the appraisal of the entire property. Now, the question I have again, the contract is not firm then at this point? Did it fall apart?
No, it is current now. It will close in hopefully here in November, this month.
Okay.
And the reason it will close now, not 6 months ago, is that the county has just now approved the plan for the land, and on top of that is they have also approved the plan for the actual building and the pumps and the tanks and so forth. And that's just been done roughly a week ago.
Was that, it's a corner site, was that involved with access from the main road that they require them to go from side road access? I'm just curious.
No.
The reason I asked that is because there's a lot of problems on the corner
site. If I could approach that.
Oh, okay.
Lot 6 is to the right side, and that's the corner, and the cross streets are
on California.
Yes, California is the north south street, and that runs up to two schools and the Pasco County bus depot. Across the street is the industrial park and post office. Excellent site. The problem is almost all the property around there is owned by the county, and they have it on land leases. So the commercial property in that area has been difficult to develop. This one more difficult because of the cost to develop. So basically, which we have in the package, it's going to cost roughly, we hope, no more than $900,000 to develop the road, the sewer, and the water that is required to sell off any one parcel. In addition, we have to remove turtles. That turned out to be about $75,000. We're in the process of doing that today. The construction we hope will start momentarily. They've paid their fees. Now that it's been approved, they've paid their fees. None of this existed back last January. It was raw land. It is still raw land as we're sitting here today.
Okay, this thing on the bottom of the loop, what is that?
That is retention pond.
Oh, it is? Okay,
now,
that's the retention.
Now, again, the drawing that you're looking at goes back to 2002 as this was originally platted and designed. It has been redone on many pages. The two parcels at the top, one of which they're showing is some phenomenal value, is going to, both of those parcels at the north side of the property are going to be retention. So you're going to have six parcels across the bottom. The 7-Eleven will be the corner parcel plus 22 feet from lot 5 or parcel 5. And the rest of the parcels are available for sale, but are unsellable until the road and the sewer and the water are there, which will increase the value. Okay. All right. Now, I have, she's basically mentioned CoStar. I want to make a comment on that. CoStar picked up listings I had put on LoopNet. CoStar and LoopNet are owned by the same company. I had advertised individual parcels after we knew what was happening. I advertised them for sale with water, sewer, and off-site retention, none of which is there now, nor road. So I included into the asking price all of that development being done, and I still never got any offers. I never got any offers on any of the out parcels. I am currently working on a letter of intent to purchase all of the property other than the 7-Eleven. I do not have a contract. I do not have a contract in hand for that.
You've made your point.
Okay.
The plat, copy of a, excuse me, the engineering plat, is Exhibit 4, and it's rebuttal information. Acceptable? Inadmissible. I think we have enough information. This is very important.
I just want to read one thing.
So I agree.
I'm going to start objecting to all this.
This is rebuttal information.
Okay. I would like to see it, if I may. Can I ask a question about the other parcel that's, what is it, lot 7?
Sure. I was handed two additional sketches by the petitioner, and that's going to be included in their rebuttal information. I'm sorry, yeah. I don't forget that.
I want to know if I could have a copy of what you just gave the magistrate. Okay, and my other question is, so I looked through all the documents recorded with the county. I've looked through all the old zonings and everything else, and I don't see anywhere where that lot 7, is it lot 7 that's the northeast lot? You know, to the, above the lot 6, you know what I'm talking about?
Right. That okay. will be retention when this is replatted.
Well, here's the thing. If it's replatted and it was recorded and I had that information, it would have been put down as a DRA, but I haven't found anywhere where I could see that.
Well, again, Melissa, this is for 2021.
Okay, so it hasn't been recorded yet. Okay, that's what I want to make sure of.
This is the development plan.
Uh-huh,
which is
I've
many pages
it.
Of engineering.
I've looked at it all.
And which is just now approved by the county, and it shows the retention pond being expanded to include both parcels
okay.
at the top.
Okay.
The reason for that is the original plan required a very expensive dam process to hold the retention. It's not that much water, but legally they were going to have to put a wall between those two parcels in order to be able to do that.
Between so by the 6 and 7?
I don't know how they were defined on your
okay.
system.
Okay.
But the
yeah,
two,
I've looked at all those.
I'll give you a copy of the development plan if you'd like.
No, I just wanted to see what the magistrate was given for rebuttal. I just wanted to take a glance at it.
Again, this plan
it.
Was not even thought of.
Did you give her a copy of the sketches you gave me?
I'm looking for a copy of that now, Joe.
Or Mr. Magistrate, could I just look at them real quick? That's fine.
Is this a 50 rebuttal to rebuttal on both sides?
I just want to look at what he gave you.
Oh,
that's
yeah,
all.
Absolutely.
I don't need copies.
Absolutely. Yeah.
So in the meantime, let me summarize a little bit here. Again, this property in 2019 was on the open market for anybody to buy for $785,000.
Okay, it's as of when?
780. 2019.
2000. 80,000.
Correct. It was properly marketed by a professional real estate broker. They did proper price reductions to generate activity on the property. And the property was sold at arm's length. This was an open market arm's length transaction. Going back to the property appraisers, bulk sale, REO bank sale, I want to read to you on their page 79.
I've had it.
Yes, sir.
I have enough information to dig up.
But it's, this is really
okay?
important. This is really important.
Go ahead.
Okay. Transfer code REO sales.
Hold it. What page?
79.
Hang on.
This is the last thing I'm going to testify to.
Really?
Yes, sir.
Promise.
Okay. This is really important. This is the only
okay.
thing I want to bring out.
Hang on.
Yeah, this was not a deed in lieu of foreclosure. This was not an immediate transfer after a recent foreclosure. Again, this was marketed 10 years as an REO real estate owned property. I'll just read it to you until you find it on page 79, the very last paragraph, REO.
This type of transfer occurs after a lender takes title of the property either through foreclosure or deed in lieu of foreclosure. The lender will typically be listed as the grantor. This type of transfer should be disqualified with the Code 12. However, an REO transfer may be qualified if the property appraiser obtains documented evidence providing the transfer is at arm's length, which we have provided.
FYI, I've been dealing with REOs and foreclosures and marketing appraising for years, so I'm familiar with REO properties.
All right, sir.
Judge, could I?
No. It's closed.
Thank you.
End of petition. Thank you.
Thank you, guys.